Song of Solomon chapter 2 and the verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. The scriptures say in Ecclesiastes that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And that text refers to the house of mourning, and it has particularly in mind the house of the dead, a funeral. A loved one has gone, and that house now is a house of mourning. And of that house, God the Holy Spirit says it is better to go there than to the house of feasting. And it gives reasons for that assertion. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2, you'll see it. It gives reasons for that assertion. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For, you see, that is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. There is benefit to be received in the house of mourning. You see, we're all going to leave such a house one day. And there's a benefit in being there, that we might reflect on that. The living will lay it to heart that he's going to die someday. A visit to the house of mourning is instructive. A visit to the house of mourning is beneficial. So saith the Holy Ghost. It is sobering. It leads to one's eternal good if it is rightly used. The house of mourning is nearer to Christ than the house of feasting. It's better to go there. The house of feasting tends to make people light, forgetful of the serious things of life, negligent of eternity. There is, however, an exception to that rule. It is the exception found in our text tonight. Here's a house of feasting. This is the best house of all to go to. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me was love. This is the exception to that rule. It's not really an exception, because the house of feasting is the world's banqueting house. This is Christ's banqueting house. This is a different house of feasting altogether. It is above and beyond that rule of Ecclesiastes. There is a house then in our text. We want to call it tonight Christ's house of feasting. Christ's house of feasting. There are three things to keep in mind as we consider this house. There is the bringing. He brought me. There is the banqueting. The banqueting house. And there is the banner. The banner that is over me all the while we're there. The banner that is over me, his love. The banner displays why he brings us to the banqueting house. The banner displays how he brings us to the banqueting house. The banner displays to us what it's like being in the banqueting house. It's all of love. The last word in the English text, as in the Hebrew text, is love. It's the highlight. It's the word that ends the thought. All the words lead up to that. It is love which is the key thought in the text. It is love which is the key word. It is love that explains the bringing. It is love that explains the banqueting. Love is the main thing in the verse tonight. That's why we have a feast. Because of his love. You have a meal in a friend's house, and someone invites you to a meal, and they have prepared a sumptuous supper, and they have laid the table out with so much effort, and the invitation has been so warm, and the welcome has been so great, the delicious meal. And what do you think? What do you think in that home? What do you think in such a house? Is not this your thought? In this house, I am loved. In this house, I am held in high regard because this is such a great effort. This is such a spread table. This is such a warm welcome. In this house, I'm loved. And that's what is said here of the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought me in. There's a banquet there. It's a banqueting house. And his banner's love. He loves me. That's the overwhelming thought that the bride has. He loves me. This is the thing that controls her heart. This is the thing that is the overriding thought in her mind. And that's what we should think about the Savior, you know. He loves me. His banner over me is love. He's brought me in. He's fed me. We see his love. We should see his love. We sung there tonight, didn't we? The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's Lamb. Yes, we do not gaze upon the table laid, rich as it is. We do not gaze upon the enjoyment of the supper, as enjoyable as it is, needful as it is, but him. The supper tells me he loves me. It's his love that thrills my heart. It's his love that excites me. It's his love, not just his supper. It's his love that satisfies me. The banqueting house, rich and as full as it is, the banner is this. He loves me. The hand that brought me, the heart that laid the table, the face of the one who sits at the table, the King of grace, his banner over me, his love. We don't deserve to be in this house. We aren't born in this house by nature. We're brought in by grace. He brought me in. We're all outside this house by nature. We're all in a state of sin and alienation from God. But he brought us in. So keeping those preliminary thoughts in mind, the bringing, the banqueting, and the banner, let us see the house that Jesus, in his love, has brought us into. The house that Jesus, in his love, has brought us into. There is, first of all, the house of salvation. The house of salvation. The house of salvation is a banqueting house indeed. Salvation is often set forth in Scripture under the image of a great supper and a great feast. In Proverbs chapter 9, we read that wisdom hath builded our house. Wisdom, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ personified. He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And wisdom, this eternal wisdom who was with the Father, this wisdom hath builded her house. Proverbs 9, verse 1. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. You will see that salvation here is set forth under the metaphor of a house that Christ has built, a house that is filled with a feast, a house that is filled with bread, and with wine, and with all things, a house that is full, a great banqueting house, and the invitation has gone out from the maidens of wisdom, inviting people in, telling them to turn in and to come. And salvation is portrayed thus as a banqueting house. We read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. It's conveyed there as a marriage supper. You read also in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 14. Here it is conveyed under the image of a great supper. Verse 16, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to send them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So here again it is, the supper is a picture of salvation. Everything's finished. Everything's ready. The people can come in. So there's a great provision, a great supper. All things are now ready. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has in his banqueting house. He's a great provision and all things are ready. There's forgiveness of sins. There's justification. There is an everlasting righteousness. There's satisfaction. There's peace with God. There's water for your thirst. There's blood for your purification and cleansing. All things are now ready. There's food for eternal life. Christ himself, the bread of life. Christ himself, the water of life, is in the banqueting house. A great provision. And there's a great mission. His servants are sent out to bid people to it, to this banqueting house. They're sent out with the gospel message. And then there's a great message that they bring as well. All things are ready. Everything's finished. Everything's complete. Come. Come into the banqueting house. Come in and be satisfied. Come in and receive everlasting life. There's a great house as well. And there's great room. Because the master said that many had come, and yet there was more room. There was still room. It's a great house. There's plenty of space. There's room for sinners to come in. And so you see that it's often portrayed, even in the image in the Old Testament, that in the mountain, that the house of the Lord will be built on a high mountain at the last day, and the Gentiles would flow in onto it, and there'd be bread and wine to fill them and satisfy them. That is imagery of gospel times. And the call of Gentiles to come into the house of the Lord, to come into the banqueting house, to come in and partake of the supper. There were people who give out their excuses, as there are today. But there is a house of salvation. And you know, we that are saved, the Lord Jesus has brought us into that house. He's brought us in. That's why we read Mephibosheth. Because Mephibosheth is really a picture of us being brought into the banqueting house. Mephibosheth, David wanted to show kindness to some of the descendants of Saul. Not just any old kindness. He wanted to show the kindness of God. He wanted to show kindness like God. He wanted to be Christ-like in his kindness. And so he found out Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was poor and maimed, and he was halt. He was lame in both his feet. You remember in the gospel parables when the Lord Jesus said about the servants going out, go out and bring in the maimed and the halt and the blind. Whoever you can find, bring them all in. They're all welcome. And Mephibosheth was lame in both his feet. And he was brought in. He was brought into the house of David. And he was set at the king's table. And he was there to eat at the king's table continually. Continually. He was to be in the king's presence continually. Even though he belonged to another house, the house of Saul, an enemy house. But David, in his condescension, brought one out of that enemy house and brought him into his own house and set him at his own table and feasted him there in Jerusalem every day. It's a picture of our text. Tonight, we are Mephibosheths. The Lord Jesus has shown the kindness of God unto us. We have been lame in our feet. We're blind, we're halt, we're maimed. We're poor, we're needy, we're wretched. But he brought us in. He brought us in to sit at his table. He brought us in to partake of the good things that he has provided for us. He brought us in. The past is forgotten. The past is under the blood. He brought us in. He brought me to the banqueting house. Why? Why are you saved tonight? Why did he bring you in? His banner over me is love. That's why. That's why he brought you in. because he loves you.
What a banner is this? That's what Mephibosheth must have saw at that table.
He didn't say, what a great table is this. Oh, what wonderful provision. What fabulous meat.
What fabulous bread. He doesn't talk about that. He talks about the grace. He talks about the mercy. Why should you have an eye to such a dead dog as I am?
Mephibosheth saw the banner. David's banner over him was love.
And when we are in the house of salvation, that's what we ought to see. It is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That love has provided the table. That love has given us a righteousness. That love has given blood to cleanse us and to wash us. That love has given eternal bread to feed us. Christ himself is that provision. Christ himself is that bread. He has given himself. We cannot look at that table and provision, but we are engulfed with the glimpse of his love. We cannot but consider what we have in him, and we're overwhelmed. He loves me. The Son of God loved me. His banner over me was love. Oh, I am my beloved, we sung tonight, and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor, vile sinner into his house of wine. It's a personal salvation, isn't it? He brought me. He personally, he brought me to the banqueting house. This is a personal relationship between you and Jesus. If you're saved, this is what he has done to you under the imagery of this picture tonight. He's brought you in. He's brought you into his salvation. He saved you, and he's given you all the benefits of his grace. We think sometimes of the Lord's Supper. We read this morning of those 12 around the table of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus in the midst, and there was one who lay on his bosom. They all partook of the table. They all partook of the feed. They all had the good things. And they all delighted to be in the Lord's presence. But there seemed to be only one who appreciated the love. There seemed to be only one who had the cure to give that intimate expression of his affection for such love. One that Jesus loved. One that knew Jesus loved him. He wrote it in his own gospel. One that Jesus loved. John knew Jesus loved him. He knew it. He had a full assurance of it. He loved me. He saw the banner. And he lay on his heart. He's the only one lay at his heart. Oh, let us be John's tonight. Let us not just be content to be at the supper and to partake of all the good things that the Lord Jesus Christ has, and to enjoy forgiveness, and to enjoy the garment of his righteousness, and to enjoy the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's see beyond that, and let's see that he gives us these things because he loves me. His banner that is enfolding me and enrobing me, is love. There are some here perhaps tonight, and they haven't been brought in. They don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. They have experienced none of the benefits of salvation. They do not even care for them. They care not for a righteousness that clothes them. They care not for the forgiveness of sins. They care not for the washing that Jesus has for sinners. They are outside the banqueting house. Is there some tonight in that situation who will not even so much as raise a cry? Lord, bring me in. Bring me into your banqueting house. So there is the house of salvation. But you know, there are other banqueting houses as well that we can think about.
I think that the Holy Scriptures are a banqueting house.
Wisdom hath builded another house,
a house on seven pillars indeed, a house that explains and describes and portrays and sets forth the great supper, a house that points out the great salvation in Christ.
Wisdom has founded another house.
It is the infallible book. This is a house, you know. This is a house. A house of fat things. A house of rich provision for us. It is a house that contains the bread of life. It is a house that has Christ enclosed within. It is Christ revealed in this book. You go into this house, every room you see the Saviour. Every closet you open up, you get a glimpse of Christ. Every mirror on the wall that you look upon, it's nothing but a sight of Jesus. He is in this house. He infills this house. And as we enter into the door of this house, we all about us see in it the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a house founded on seven pillars, I can tell you. It's an infallible book. It's a sure book. It's a firm foundation, this book. A pure house, a sure house, a lighthouse, an exceeding broad house. Yes, it would take you a lifetime to go through this house, and you would never have exhausted all its rooms. It has endless rooms, an exceeding broad land. A lifetime is not enough to explore it. A lifetime of ministry is not enough to proclaim it. It's a very vast house. It's one that you are to enter into. It is interesting that the first Hebrew letter in the Old Testament scriptures is the word Beth, meaning in the beginning. The first letter that the Hebrew wrote in the scriptures was a house. The letter Beth. It is pictured like a house. It is shaped like a house. And that first letter meets us at the entrance of this book, because it tells us, the Holy Spirit tells us, this book is a house. Enter into it. Take the shoes from off your feet before you go into this house. It's not like any other house. It's God's house. He has builded it. He has erected it. He has placed in it His Son Jesus to be a light to the nations, to guide us and to save us. And so we enter into this banqueting house, the house of Holy Scriptures. Men enter it and read it, but they have not eyes to penetrate into it. They don't see Christ in it. They enter into it, but they don't have the taste buds to taste the Saviour in it. Only the saved can really enter into this house. Only the saved can really come into this book to see Christ. To the unsaved, it's a dull book. To the unsaved, it's a closed book. To the unsaved, they have neither the sight nor the taste to benefit from this book. But to us that are saved, He brings us in. He brings us into the book. He brings us into the banqueting house. And He satisfies us. He feeds us. He gives us glimpses of Jesus in His house. We see Christ in the house. He brings us in. Luke chapter 24 is a passage of Scripture that we often read. The Lord Jesus Christ in verse 45, opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So you'll see here that the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing His apostles into the house of Holy Scripture. He's bringing them into the banqueting house. He's opening their understanding, that they might understand the book. And then He points Himself out. It behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. There's a sweetness in the book. There's a warmth in the book. Again in verse 27 of chapter 24, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He brought them in.
He brought them into the banqueting house of Holy Scripture. He expounded unto them in all that house, all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. It's Christ Himself who brings them in, and it's Christ Himself who's the banquet. Do you see that? He brings them into the Holy Scriptures, and what does He expound unto them? The things concerning Himself. He reveals Himself unto them. He shows them Himself. He's the banquet in His house. He's the banquet in His book. And it's that only that thrilled their hearts. It's that only that warmed their hearts. Verse 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? It wasn't just any old talk that warmed their hearts, you know. It's a talk of opening the Scriptures. It's a talk of bringing them into the book, into the house of the Holy Writ, and expounding the things concerning Himself. My, they were ravished, they were warmed, they were thrilled, they were excited when they saw Jesus in His book. He brought them in that day into the banqueting house. Child of God, have you ever seen soul ravishing views of Jesus in His book? I trust you have. I trust you're not a stranger to that. I trust you're not a stranger to the heartwarming experience of seeing Jesus in His book. But if you have, it's not the minister that gave you that view. And it's not the writer that gave you that view. It was Jesus Himself that gave it to you. He brought me in. He brought me into the banqueting house. It wouldn't be a banquet at all unless He brings you in. If it's just the old preacher brings you in, you'll have no banquet. But if it's Jesus brings you in, what a thrill there'll be to your heart. What a sight you'll have of Christ. Those taste buds will be whetted by the Savior if He brings you in. And why does He give you those views? Why does He give you those views? Just to intellectually stimulate you? No. To show you His love. He gives you those views to show you that He loves you. He brought me in. He brought me into the banqueting house this morning. He gave me a soul-satisfying view of Himself in His book. Because His banner over me is love. He loves me. And He reveals Himself to me. Because Jesus always does that to those that He loves. Love can't hold back. Love must manifest itself. Love must reveal itself. Love must declare itself. And I tell you, Jesus loves us. And He brings us in. And He reveals it. And He shows us. And He thrills us, and He excites us with it. His banner over me is love. There's a house of Scripture. But then there is a house of the saints. It is into a fellowship that Jesus brings us. He brings us in personally. He brings us in individually. Doesn't our text say that? He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. But child of God, He doesn't bring us in to be solitary. He brings us into a house. And what is a house? Is a house just bricks and stone and mortar? No, no. A house in the Bible is a family. That's what a house is in the Bible. And if you think of a house, you generally don't think of bricks and mortar the way our sort of limited mentality in this Western society does. Doesn't want to think of a family or a house, but the house in the Bible is a family. And when Jesus brings us into a house, He brings us into a family. A family. Brings us not in to be solitary. He setteth the solitary in a family. And He setteth the child of God, the child of God that He brings. He sets him in a family. And it's His love that makes him do that. He brings us into the family and fold of God, and it's His love that makes Him do that. He won't leave us lonely and alone. He brings us in.
Yes, it is true, we have our personal communion with Jesus. He brought me in, and His banner over me was love. But then every Christian can say this, can't they? I can say this evening, and you can say it as well. Well, if He brought me into the banqueting house, and He's brought you into the banqueting house, and He's brought other Christians into the banqueting house, then you can see there's a lot of people in this banqueting house. We're not in here alone, are we? There's many of us. We're all in this house tonight. Never think individually. Always think corporately. Because Jesus is the head of a family, the head of a body that has many parts. He does not want us to think individually. He wants us to think corporately. It is our modern Western society that thinks individually, not the Scriptures, not the Holy Ghost. We should think corporately. Every Christian can say this verse, and if then every Christian can say this verse, then we are all together in this banqueting house. We're all joined to Christ. We're all in the communion of the saints. The grace that has brought me in has also brought you in and made us brothers and sisters in Christ. We are around the same table, the one table. That's why we have one table here, because we're all around the one table. We have one baptism. We have one head. We have one faith. We are all around the Lord Jesus, baptized in that one divine name, subsisting in three persons. We're all around Christ. In that house, Christ is in the midst, feeding His saints. That's what He's interested in, His house. The feeding of His saints, the feeding of His people. That's why it's called a banqueting house. He's interested in His saints being fed. That's why we proclaim the word of God in this house. That's why the Lord Jesus has raised up preachers. That's why He's given them a commission. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. Make sure the assembly is a banqueting house. We are in His house. And so we should remember this. The grace that has brought you in has brought me in. And there's a way to behave to one another in His house, isn't there? Isn't there a way to behave to one another? We shouldn't needlessly be gossiping about our brethren and sisters. We shouldn't be doing that. He's brought us into the banqueting house. His banner over us is love and grace. And kindness and compassion. Do you not see that banner over you, brother and sister? Do you not see that's the thing that should engage your conversation? Do you not see that's the thing that the Lord Jesus wants you to speak about? Do you not see that's the thing the Lord Jesus wants you to be excited about? His banner. There it is. It's His standard. It's over us. That's the only thing our eyes are upon. His banner over me is love. What kind of table would it be if you were visiting a house and there was a whole lot of people around that house, around that table in that house, and there were some people weren't talking to others, and there were some people they were hearing other people at the table, and there was attitudes between certain folk around that table? What way is that to treat the host? What way is that to treat the host? Is that your love for the host? Jesus has brought us in His grace. His banner over us is love. That should regulate our behavior to one another. That should regulate our behavior in the house of God. That's the banner He has made. He loves you. That should drive away bitterness. Why should you be a bitter saint? Why should you be a saint that holds a grudge? Do you not see the banner? Are you not engulfed with the love of your host Jesus?
Does it not thrill you and excite you? Does not the very thought of it drive from your breast every bitterness? Let his banner over me is love. That should be the one thing that dominates. The love of Christ, Paul said it in another context, but it's true in every context in the Christian life. The love of Christ constrains me to behave in such a fashion. It constrains me to forgive as Christ forgave me. Around this host, in this banqueting house, there is only one topic of conversation. It is Jesus. They that feared the Lord spake often. They spake often one to another. Not about another, not against another, but to another. And the Lord, the present host, the one in the midst, the one who has brought us together into his banqueting house, the Lord hearkened and heard it. And he caused a book of remembrance to be written to them that feared and thought upon his name. Yes, the Lord eavesdrops on our conversation in his banqueting house. He sees how we respond to the banner that is over us of his love. He has a book of remembrance written. Everything we say is there. Oh, let it not be filled with grievous things, but with sweet things, pleasant things. May eternity reveal a book filled with converse about Jesus, our loving Lord, the house of the saints. But then there's another house, a final house. It is a future house, a house above. The first, if you like, has yet a greater fulfillment. The Lord Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. The Lord Jesus has a desire that his people be with him where he is. And Christ will, when he comes again, bring his people with him and to himself. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Revelation chapter 7 and the verses 14. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. These are believers. This whole age is an age of tribulation. The Lord Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And these are they, these are the saints that have come out of this great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And here are the verses that I particularly draw your mind to. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. That in a house you see, a house that has full provision. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them onto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That is yet future. There's still a future house to be with the Lord. And you know what he'll do? He'll feed us. I don't know what that means, but I know this. It'll be satisfying. It'll be thrilling. It'll be exciting. And he'll be in the midst. And he'll lead us. He'll bring us. He'll bring us to the banqueting house. And he'll lead us to the fountains of living waters. Yes, and he'll wipe away all tears. He'll take out his handkerchief and he'll wipe them all away. What a Savior. He brought me in to the banqueting house. And you know, whenever we finally get to that house,
and all shadows are gone, and all darkness has departed, and all doubts have ceased, do you know what we'll know? We'll know this. His banner over me was love. Loved with everlasting love. Led by grace. That love to know. Don't be satisfied with anything less than the assurance that Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. Get a glimpse of the banner, child of God. Get a glimpse of why you're saved. Because he loves you. Get a glimpse of why he gives you a ravishing view of himself in the scriptures from time to time. It's because he loves you. Get a glimpse of why he has brought you into the fellowship of the saints. To have the family love of brethren and sisters. It's because he loves you. And get a glimpse of why he shall at last bring you to heavenly glory. This is the only reason. It's not because you were good or worthy. It's because he loved you. That's the only reason. That's his banner. The banner of sovereign, undeserved, unmerited love. His banner over me was love.